It was a wonderful week in Lake Wobegon.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the world of tomorrow. I'm your host, Daniel.
And I'm your other host, Willie.
And if that sounded a little extra spooky this time around, that is because after July 4th, it is legally and officially
Halloween season. I mean, spooky season.
I love it. I'm so excited for spooky season.
Spooky season's upon us, and I've got my pumpkins all set up, and they are...
We don't count... Is it Labor Day between now and then?
Labor Day. We also have Veterans Day.
Do we? I thought Veterans Day was already over.
Isn't Veterans Day... No, wait. Veterans Day is in November.
Is it?
Well, anyway...
Yeah, wow. Oh my gosh, that's like right by your birthday, November 11th.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to start saying all the personal information about you in such little tidbits like, oh my gosh, it's 2023, which are the last digits of your social security number.
No, everybody knows that the last four digits of your social security number is the year you were born.
I have heard that. I do not know my social security number.
And mine is 1883. Okay, speaking of that, PD, real quick, does your brain gravitate, and this is what my brain does, does your brain gravitate towards years where it's the two middle digits are the same? 1990s, 1880s, 1770s, 1660s.
Yes.
Like when I'm thinking number of a random number, random year in a different century, that's always where my mind goes first.
So I wouldn't say my mind goes there first, but I would say like, I was born in 1991. My favorite year is 1776. I feel like the 1880s were the Gilded Age, which I find fascinating. The 1660s were kind of like when America was getting like coming up, because that's like the majority of the history that I know.
Jimi Hendrix, Woodstock.
1660s.
The first Woodstock that people don't know about.
Buckle pilgrim hat, just ripping a guitar.
But it's like a tie-dye buckle pilgrim hat.
I heard he used to cut his forehead with razor blades and then put acid in his buckle pilgrim hat.
Wait, did people do that with a bandana?
Jimi Hendrix used to like notoriously do that with a bandana. I don't know if
he would
ever,
like soak his bandana with LSD and then.
And then, like, cut little, like, slits in his forehead so he would go, like, straight into his blood. And then he could, like, play and shit. Which, why would he do it?
Why wouldn't he just take the acid,
Why wouldn't you just take it an hour before you're intended and then, to?
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Well anyway, this is also a 60s psychedelic podcast in addition to it being a Futurama podcast.
That is very – are there – I don't know any other psychedelics. Mushrooms and LSD. There's only two.
DMT is one, I think, technically.
Is it? I guess.
I mean, anything that like distorts your reality like that. Yeah, any hallucinogen would be a
so like when I was sniffing bleach in my trailer, it's a hallucinogen. If it makes you hallucinate.
If you're in your trailer and it's bleach, yeah, that's a hallucinogen. that's a psychedelic.
I did one time in the morning, was late for, I think I might have told you this already. I was late for middle school because I was smelling detergent downstairs.
Oh my God. One time I was.
It smelled okay, so good. I
do dishes twice a week as a kid. And one of my days for the dishes, I was starting the dishwasher after dinner. And I always like to take a little whiff of the powdery, you know, chunky granule.
It smells
detergent.
Clean. Yeah.
It smells so good.
That's the guy we had.
I thought it would be a good idea to squeeze the box so that more air would come out. And I could get a better whiff. However, here's where my blunder occurred. When I did that, it also sprayed it up my nose. And it hurt so bad. And then I had to be like, ow, mom, I accidentally snorted the dish detergent because I thought it smells good.
I just imagine you fully like coming up like Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, right. Like, covered in just white.
As if I had just done a bunch of cocaine or something.
Or dunked your head in a pie. Yes.
Right.
So I'm glad we're both detergent sniffers. I was a laundry detergent guy.
And maybe that has something to do with the way we turn out as an adult. I don't know.
Correct. That is the foundation of this podcast, was the brain cells we lost in our formative years sniffing detergent.
We join together once a week and we yell, welcome to the world of tomorrow, and annoy everyone who can hear us.
Not something a whole lot of normal people do, I would say. What is normal, you know? I'm not here to answer
that. I think I can guarantee that no normal people do that. I'll bet. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet on that.
Fair enough. God, I am so fucking jealous of that goddamn can of LaCroix, you son of a bitch.
It's tasty. It's passion fruit.
You are just not letting it go. I'm so sad. I could not steal LaCroix.
Just like you hold over
today.
Your 3 in AP English Lit over me. I will hold this LaCroix over here.
I'm sorry. Have you ever seen those old Tootsie Pop commercials? A three. Okay, I'm done now.
Like when we were playing Monopoly Deal with Warren.
Literally every term.
I couldn't get it out of my head. My girlfriend was about to kill me then.
Warren was about to kill us both. She's like, okay.
The joke isn't funny anymore. But we were observing the rule of, what is it, like sevens or something? There's like a rule of 3. But then there's also a rule of 7s, I think, where if you do it, I think Tim and Eric have done this a lot. If you do a thing enough, it goes in these like cycles of being funny and not funny. Because if you go long enough, it becomes absurd and it becomes funny. And then you kind of like don't like it anymore. But then it kind of gets absurd again and it gets funny again.
That just reminds me of like when they have some stupid motif in something that I want to watch, like the horse massage. I'm like, what the fuck is a horse massage? This is so stupid. But then
– oh, Tim and Eric. I thought you were talking about just like something generally.
Just Us Boys. I'm like, just 3 boys. And it's like they're – all dressed like women, I don't know. But yes, then they like keep going, and like as you continue the absurdity, you're like, okay, that is funny. Mm-hmm. And then like the thought of him like getting a massage with hooves as you like actually dissect it in your brain becomes much more funny. It's like almost the opposite of what standard comedy is to me, because I feel like if you dissect something too much, like when you make a joke about like alcoholic drink and a character of Friends and you dissect it too much, you don't think it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about subversion of expectation, normal comedy, right?
Yes.
So if you're absurdist, then you don't even have expectations because you don't know what's going to happen.
Like a Phoebe Run Breeze. That's kind of funny, I'd say. If you don't,
that's a little
really
better.
There was a very long conversation prior to this podcast being recorded, and Willie had a large volume of very good and very funny names of TV shows compared to foods, and then I tried one and he literally just stared at me blankly.
I was confused. Like I was month. Straight up confused. I was looking at you with like, did I miss something? Helping. Am I the idiot?
You know what, we'll workshop it, as we always say.
We'll workshop it. Well, anyway, guys, today we are going to cover season 5, and you may have thought we were not going to cover the podcast at all because the first 10 minutes of us really had nothing to do with the normal content.
But
today we're going to cover season 5, episode 3, The Root, or as some pronounce it, Route of All Evil. This episode is the
like
one...
Like a square root. Is that how a square root spelled?
No, I don't think so. Because it's like a root as in like a
it is an R-O-O-T. Wait, then how would you pronounce this root?
This is supposed to be root of all evil.
Oh, just root or route. Okay.
But root or route are acceptable, I believe.
Because alcohol is the root of all evil. That makes sense. Okay.
And, that's what that part of is named after?
That was like a apothegm that was spread during
Did you say
Prohibition.
A Mike Tyson possum apothegm?
That was an apothem. It was spread during during the suffrage movement. Alcohol is the root of all evil, and so then it got like it became popular for the dries in Congress to
now I've always been confused by this, and you're a history doctor, so you know. Now, why would women want to bring their own suffering? Why was there a suffering movement? Why would people want to suffer?
Do you have any idea how many Americans are ready to end women's suffrage? I can think of six individuals who sit on a pretty high court who might have interest.
And one of them is a woman.
One of them is a woman who doesn't think women should vote and her sole job is to vote. Correct. Yes, exactly.
All kidding aside. this is the episode where the normal Frybender Leela create their own beer, and then Hermes and Professor Farnsworth's children start a rival paper company.
Yes, and I will say, as an overview of this, when I was for watching the beginning of it, I was like, God, this is not as good as I remember of an episode. But then it like definitely picks up and there's way more. It's just – it starts very slowly and dryly for me.
Yeah. There are some classic moments, though.
And then I think it picks up really well.
There's some classic
moments. There's some classic quotes in there that like makes this almost timeless. But it's just the – yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the thing that makes it not timeless is that it was made in a time. So it does.
Legally and historically. Correct.
And it's 22 minutes
long. It's 22 minutes long. Yes, so, that's true.
It does have time. It does have time.
It does have time. Too far into the episode, I won't do a show. Before we get too far in the episode, should we do a little something we like to call...
Good news, everyone.
Ooh, that one was loud. That was loud as a shroud, and I'm loving it.
I got you, dog.
Okay. Well, since it was so loud, I'll go first.
I'll go first. You just wanted to say, I'll go first.
I did. I really just did.
Show me the life hack.
I really hope our listeners have TikTok or Instagram and they know what we're talking about. We don't sound like we truly are rambling lunatics. It was a great 4th of July, a good pride, but I am just so happy to like sit back and have a weekend to do nothing because it was my brother's wedding.
And now that it's not Pride anymore, you don't have to be gay anymore. It's just
exactly,
like...
and I can take a break from being gay. Come on. It's taxing, I'll just say. But no, I'm actually kind of excited to just like have a chill weekend, although having said that, if you wanted to like hang out maybe a little bit here and there, we could do that. But no, I'm glad to like do a little decompression. Work is like... It's the first like 2 weeks of the quarter are really busy for us. Like in general, they try and cram pack a bunch of stuff in the first 2 weeks. So I'm very excited to like take a weekend and just like decorn press, y'all, and like take naps. I just downloaded Jedi Survivor.
Nice.
Which I'm very excited.
I've heard very good things. I have not played. Second one or the first one?
This is the second one. Fallen Order is the
Fallen
first
Order.
One.
I have the Fallen Order. I have not played very much because I've been playing Zoroldo, Tears of the Kingdom. But I've heard very good things about Survivor.
Zoroldo. I had to look
King?
It up. Who is Dinky King? I've heard really good things about it that I literally just read online because I had to look it up. Because there's like... there's a bunch of really fucking good video games coming out. There's a new Assassin's Creed
Starfield?
Coming out.
Starfield.
Harry Potter came out.
Starfield. Oh my god, Pete. You haven't heard
Starfield?
Oh my
gosh, is that Garfield's space brother?
Yes.
Starfield?
Yes. He's ripped.
John, I love moon lasagna.
John, but his name is Jorn.
On the moon. I was going to say it's
an alien name. Or it's like Zahn. With an X. Zahn.
I love some space lasagna.
But also,
I hate Blonde's days.
You know, it does match up though that which day of the week he would hate is Monday because it's Lunes. Moon day. Boom.
Oh,
built-in pun.
My gosh. I cannot believe that Jim Davis planned his canon 40 years ago when he created Garfield for us to come and find
40. Didn't he make that shit like 60 years ago at this point?
No. Garfield, when was Heathcliff invented? And Garfield was like a year after. Heathcliff is definitely 1978.
That was like 45 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Well, we split the difference. We were close. Indiana native Jim Davis introduced Garfield to the world June 19th.
He's from our hometown, baby.
Yeah, that's right. That and ball jars. Oh my God. The fucking the quote from that I just read that from is nine lives of Indiana's top cartoon cat. Garfield turns 40. Jesus Christ. There is nothing in that state. I'm sorry. I love you and I love everyone there.
Nothing.
We gotta get some more. We need Michael Jackson 2.0 minus diddling. But
yeah.
You know.
Now is the which parts are amplified? Is that random? So we could get a smattering of terrible dancing and a lot of diddling, or
that's true. He could be a really bad dancer who's a really good diddler. We'll just, you know what? It'll be like Crambot. We'll have to make iterations, but we'll get there, baby. With the Android replicant technology
Crambot's
we have.
Newest version is so good. You can't even distinguish him from a human anymore.
Sick. There are two people sucking face at the park, and it is not two men. And they're literally doing the Titanic thing where he is behind her, and their heads are like to the right. Like, girl, I have been in both positions, given it and taken it from behind. Kissing like that is not. Baby, like, job news update. Gross straight couple making out
the park. I could
not
find the button.
In a very unfortunate and very awkward face. Like, he looks like he's about to eat her head. Go bring a book. Although, to be fair, if it was a gay couple, I don't know if I'd like it or hate it even more. I'm literally Todd. I've realized this. I am Todd. And that's all for PP Todd. I am Todd from Scrubs. Throwing rocks at old people in the park. I'm like, Todd, why do you do that? And it's like, why do they get to be happy?
That is funny. I haven't thought about that character in a long time.
Oh, wait. No, Todd is the jock surgeon.
You're talking about the HR guy or whatever, right?
Yeah, the lawyer for the hospital.
The lawyer, yeah.
I can't remember. The fun, bold guy who I actually very much did like his comedy, but I have not seen him in anything recently.
He very much liked his comedy.
Okay, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, okay? What's your good news after I just said mine's doing nothing for 10 minutes?
My good news is that I don't know if I shared this already. I've been rollerblading, and it's so much fun. And I'm very weak at it still. I still feel like I have to put on my knee pads and my wrist pads.
Stop right there. I'm going to stop you right there. If you're having fun, it doesn't matter how weak or strong you are at it. You're enjoying yourself. And
thank
you
so much.
That's fucking important, baby.
Thank you so much. I will say, even though I feel like a sort of blundering idiot while I ride them, I have now on two separate occasions a little kid walking with their mom on the sidewalk. I'm like in the bike lane. They'll see me and they'll go, "Look, mom, rollerblades."
Oh, really?
And they're
That's
like,
cute.
So yeah, they like love it. And I think it's just like seeing an adult doing rollerblades is like not a thing you see that often anymore. You
an
know,
adult bearded man rollerblading.
Yeah. Wearing a bunch of pads.
Like,
and then I'll wave
like
at them.
Novelty.
I'm like, "Hi."
Hi. How are you? Oh, that's sweet though. And like, who can, like, cool. You got that brighten their day. That's fucking
I
awesome.
Know. Like, it's like when you see the person at Disneyland who's dressed up like Gaston or whatever, and that's like your hero. Mm-hmm. And then you think that like you really truly met your hero, and then you realize that's just like an underpaid actor who.
Yay,
like,
actor. Let's be clear.
Well, I said actor.
No, I'm just kidding. Part of the Film Actors Guild, of course.
Right. Film Actors. That was a good one by them.
That was really good.
You know, they're on strike right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Have you seen this? Weird about this?
Anyway, it makes me feel cool when little kids think you're cool. So, but it's been a more fun thing, way to get out of the house and get a little bit of exercise. Cause sometimes it's just like mentally, I don't want to go for a run, but if I'm like rollerblading, it's a little more fun.
Are you going like up and down hilly parts or like just,
no, it's very flat out here.
Okay. I was going to say, that could go wrong pretty quick.
Oh, no, I would never try it, like, in SF right now.
And you wear
my skill level?
is like bombing down the hill.
Yeah, and I'd be like,
doing it on one leg with three other legs.
Right. Like, and I'm like constantly in a state of almost being tipped over.
Yeah, but I mean, you're wearing your
protective gear,
wrist guards, your elbow pads, your knee pads, and then obviously wearing a full pad just underneath yourself.
Like, yeah, it's sort of a toboggan.
I was going to say it's in case you get so nervous you get your period. But.
Oh, or pee-pee.
Every time I do a jump, even if it's over a curb, I whiz a little.
It helps propulsion-wise.
Are you tucking?
Yes, I'm tucking, and so it's going behind me.
Well, you know what drag queens do is they tuck and then they wear a pad. That's how they tuck and how it looks like there's nothing there.
Why do you need to wear a pad?
Because the pad makes everything smooth.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So it doesn't look like you just tucked a tube through your
Classic drag queens, always tucking tube.
For real, though.
I love it. Oh, my God.
What an art form, though.
I know. And, like... Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
Can I hear it from the sisters?
Can I also just throw some bad news at the end of
the good news? Okay.
Yeah, the opposite of the point of it.
Unless, of course, war were declared.
What's that?
War were declared.
Fuck everyone who's taking money out of our pockets. That was $10,000 that was guaranteed.
Oh my God.
We are absolutely ass blasted right now. Fuck that.
First of all, last week, the Supreme Court had probably the worst week of all time, like setting a record for the dumbest bullshit to ever come out of the Supreme Court in 1 week.
Well, there's some also like where they didn't overturn slavery stuff. So lots of dumb shit, but not maybe.
I'm so sorry. I should really be bowing down to them because they didn't repeal the 13th Amendment. Wow. How considerate of them.
No, I'm saying there were times when they upheld slavery before it was illegal. So that was a worse.
Yeah, but like relative to what was happening then versus now,
I feel like this is
very regressive.
You know me, I keep an eye out for historical hyperbole.
That's true.
But context matters.
Context matters.
And
it goes against what basically everyone in the country wanted.
Yes.
Versus maybe what you're talking about was still fucked up, but I don't know what. It wasn't as diverse back then. That's all I'll say.
Right. Yes. Very true. But like, we spend so much money on so much dumb shit. Why can't we give everyone fucking student loan debt relief so that Gen Z and millennials can finally fucking buy houses?
Here's what I don't understand either. We forgave a bunch of PPP loans. I don't know if I don't think it was the same absolute magnitude. But we did that. And what does that get us? Economy wise, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if you give a bunch of people who have limited their spending because they've been paying off a thing, and then all of a sudden they have to pay off less, or it's forgiven because they had less than 10K left, or Pell Grant 20K, then all of a sudden they can spend all that money and putting it into the economy.
Right. That just seems like buying larger ticket items too.
Exactly.
It's not like they're putting it going to buy
a car. Down payment on a house, like you said. Buying a car.
Down payment on a car. Down payment on a washer and dryer. New computer. Whatever the fuck it is. Starting a business. Starting a small business, bitch. Like, that is what we should be getting people to do.
Staying on your grind set. Waking up at 3 a.m. and doing sit-ups and then praying.
Is that a reference to the guy from the Partridge Family?
No, it's a reference to Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay. That does.
He has like a little pew in his house where he goes and like kisses the Mother Mary and like kneels down and prays after his like workout.
But also, this conversation is literally a Futurama joke wrapped up where time keeps on slipping, and the little kids are like, "Oh, all these geezers are trying to get Social Security."
Oh, right, and then it like jumps forward.
We want free money. Yeah, that is us right fucking now.
Okay, but it's not free money.
That's true. It's just
there is a cost.
Forgiveness. Well, and it's debt forgiveness. It's not like we can go like
right, but like
that. It's not like Biden bucks.
All I'll say is it's not like we have a stockpile of a thing. Like, we got human capital through that. Like, knowledge is not something that you can right. Oh, well, I have that and you don't. Like, you can charge whatever you want for it. So do you think that you got that much better of an education than I did, even though I had to pay? I mean, this is making me look dumb, but.
I would say different, not necessarily.
Well, exactly. That's the point. Equatable. We're both.
Yeah.
Successful equitable. Adults who are contributing to society, and like this is only keeping us back from contributing more to society.
And I know you don't want me to say anything, but folks, Willie and I make a combined over $32,000 a year. $3,200.
If you plug in our net worths, well, if you plug in my net worth, it's very negative because I have a lot of debt. So
I'm not far behind you. Well,
no, I think you are, least. But. You do want to be far ahead of me, that's for sure.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so now that we've gotten our politics out of the way, our bad news and our good news and our conversation, should we jump into the epi?
Let's jump into the episode.
The Giuseppe.
So this one starts with the crew being at like a 7-Eleven, and they're trying to decide like what kind of beer they want to buy. And I'll say this. This is maybe one of the worst ideas Leela has ever had, because she says, why are we going to buy beer? Why are we trying to decide what to buy when instead we could make it? Now, right before that, she says, guys, stop fighting. We can fight when we're drunk, which presumably they want to drink that day. But instead, they go home and they start making their own beer, which takes like at least a week.
It takes
in the
months,
show.
I would say.
Well, no, in the show, it takes them a week. Like about a week.
In her defense, I will say, like, there are things where it's like, oh my gosh, let's make homemade breakfast burritos. And it's like, oh, okay, once we get all the ingredients and spend 2 hours cooking and washing and doing everything, I would way rather have spent 40% of what we got the ingredients for that are probably going to end up going to waste and just ordering breakfast burritos. Like,
right.
Sometimes it's just 10 times easier to do that. However, if cooking is your hobby, or like improving your take on Mexican food or brewing or whatever is your hobby and you thoroughly enjoy it, then I'm all for it.
My only complaint, I'm all for doing DIY. My only complaint was, if you want to get drunk tonight, making your own beer is not the solution to that.
Yes, that is
true.
That's
my point.
Yes. That's fair.
QED.
That is a fair inferral. Inferral? Inception. Inference. Thank you. Yes. Can you tell I'm exhausted? It's an inferral.
Cycle back inferral.
Roger. So basically, the boys come home from their boarding school. We cut back to the Planet Express building, and they were kicked out for salting their classmate Brett Blob, who
assaulting.
Oh, that's pretty good. Who is a literal blob of green slime? But they come back and. Another classic Fry quote.
Yes.
Which I'm shocked we don't have on the thing.
I know. That's a good point. I should try to find it.
Yeah. They say, I heard alcohol makes you stupid, when they see him brewing. And Fry goes, no, I'm doesn't.
Apparently that line was – I think that line was ad-libbed by Billy West. Didn't we learn that like a few of the lines were like ad-libbed?
Yes. And I think that would be a really good one, because there's so many like grammatical things to play with there. Like, you don't have to say no, I'm doesn't. You could like, you know, change those words out. Just, it has to be in some short nonsensical phrase that just fits right there. So I feel like that's a good one for him to play with and like start dropping four or five in, and then directors can grab whichever one and animate it.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite ones. No, I'm doesn't.
The boys basically come in and wreak havoc. They're being annoying children. The professor has a device that lets everyone.
Anyone who speaks into it sounds exactly like him.
Right, exactly. And he doesn't want any money. He just wants people to fear his voice later. But also, I love that this is now like a real thing, and it's all AI. Like you can.
Like, oh, I know. Like, you know, the Joe Biden one where it's like Obama and Biden talking to each
Obama,
other.
Obama, Biden, Trump, Bush. Like they, like anyone who's had recorded, like, yeah, recorded
has
voice.
Enough, like, yeah, audio that you can learn from.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who has like over X thousand or X hundred hours of audio.
Maybe someone who has over 60 episodes of a podcast about Futurama.
Oh my God, there probably could be of us. That is fucking terrifying.
And they're going to hold us hostage.
Someone would just like literally plug in the URL and overnight it would make one. That is terrifying.
Yeah, no, it could really just like copy our podcast and make like an AI version of it.
Well, no, they couldn't. We're too creative.
It would be six.
I don't think
puns,
that AI could come
two
up with
stories
a bunch
about the
of,
weekend,
a bunch of puns.
Recap. Yeah.
Yeah. Could an AI come up with the Friends themed drink, the Chandler and Monica gin and tonica? I don't think so.
I don't think so, buddy.
Or the Phoebe rum breeze.
Rum Breeze is good, and I'm dying on that.
But what's her? What's Phoebe's name? Buffon or something?
Buffet. Phoebe Buffet.
So you could do like the Phoebe Buffon Buffet.
Phoebe Buffet Rum Breeze.
Why are you obsessed with a rum breeze?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever even had a rum breeze
buffet,
in my life.
Okay, Buffay. So the Phoebe Buffet Buffet. There you go, Petey.
Does a buffet have rum at it or not?
No.
Okay. Ooh, the Phoebe Buffet, Old Country Buffet.
There you go.
God, I would
Old Phoebe Country Buffet, and it's spelled Buffay.
Ooh, okay. I'm there, and I love it. Speaking of great puns, when Bender jumps on the stove and starts boiling himself after the ingredients are put into him, did you notice what magazine he's reading?
No. What is he reading?
I won't use this as trivia because it's technically a sign. Victoria's Circuit.
Oh, okay. No, I do remember that. I do remember that. Yeah, Victoria's Circuit is great. I do also love there's a moment when the professor and Hermes are like trying to decide what to do with their they're trying to decide like how to punish the kids or do something.
And how to get the hell away from them.
And he says, you jerked the words right out of my mouth. Hermes says that.
I didn't write. You jerked the words right.
Which I thought was such a great Hermes line. I hadn't noticed that one before.
I am shocked. He does not say sweet something of somewhere in this episode.
He says guinea pig of Winnipeg, though. Sweet guinea pig of Winnipeg.
I missed it. I must have been in the bathroom or something. Damn it. Okay. I thought he didn't say it. And I was like, wait, did he really not say anything this episode? Okay. I'm glad
that's why that's why I put my name in Riverside as guinea pig of Winnipeg.
Oh.
You idiot. Thanks a lot,
Rachel. You idiot. That girl, she's 60.
She's 65.
60, yeah. She had her 65th birthday. The video was recorded in
1910.
Before Garfield's birthday.
But Starfield, as we all know, immortal. True. He's a cosmic being. So, I mean.
Starfield. So dumb. What we typically say in history is either Common Era or BGF, AGF, before Garfield, after Garfield. Actually, it's Anno Domini Garfield, which means in the year of our Garfield.
In the year of our Garfield. This
okay, I'm done.
35, in the year of our Garfield.
Oh, we are really two tickled Hoosiers right now. Let me tell you what. Anyway, so would you like to continue with the?
Yes. So
I feel like I'm capitalizing on it.
The two boys, now that they basically they're told by their parents, the dads, to get a job, and so they decide to start a rival delivery company where at first they're just delivering newspapers, and they build a sort of like space DIY like space car thing to do this. And I love at a certain point, I guess this was maybe right before they get in trouble. I did want to mention this part that I love, which is that like they they use the professor's voice modulation thing to give them a false order to go deliver a pizza to a planet called Dogdo 8. And they get back a week later and they're like, hey, the universe ends after Dogdo 7. But I love that conceit that like you think it's obvious because it's a planet called Dogdo, but really there's seven of them. And the trick was that the universe ends after the seventh one, not the eighth one.
I did like that one. And they're like, come on, you guys are clearly blind. Your employees are idiots. And one of them's even brewing beer in himself. And this is a Bender quote I think of all the time where he's like, lies! Lies and slander.
Yeah. And then the professor's like, how dare you accuse gentle Bender of misdemeanors?
Yes. I love it. Oh, God. So good.
So anyway,
they become moguls almost overnight. They continue to get more and more newspaper deliveries, and they get their wagon that I love. It's like, it's literally like a red, what's it called? Radio flyer.
Radio flyer wagon.
Yes. The red rocket wagon, correct. And they like send it in and it's like, this ad says 3.2 seconds. And they're like, more like seven. And then the canister comes out and hits Q-Bert. Yeah. I don't know why that physical comedy got me. I was like, ooh, like I had a full-on hearty chortle at that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else because you did this, and you said a full-on hard.
Yeah. You know, cartoon kids getting hit with mail things. Also, I do love that technology
is – mail as in M-A-I-L. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Watch yourself, Phoebe.
That technology is, like, pretty much antiquated. Like, have you ever seen – and maybe that's just because I live in San Francisco now – but have you ever seen those stupid bank tubes anywhere else?
Yeah. There's.
Do people still have them?
Yeah, some banks do. I do think it's more of a Midwest thing where you'd have a drive-up bank. I mean, how many drive-through banks are there here?
Nah, I don't think I've even seen one.
But the one in Muncie is still going.
I still have the tubes?
Love when my dad would take me to the bank, fuck yeah. and then he would use the tubes.
Mm-hmm. And then.
And then you get a lollipop.
Yeah. You're forgetting the best part. Parents what? Giving their children copious volumes of sugar. Although, to be fair, your parents were very, very level about that and were like, oh, no. Like,
no, I mean, they did allow me to have that. But then at a certain age, I felt like kind of like kid asking for it. Because when you're young enough, they're like, we'll give you one. But then when you're like 12, they're like, you have to ask for it.
Girl, I'm coming up on 32 and I ask for a lolly every time.
But what I'm saying is it was nice when they just gave it to you because you were five and they were like, yes. Oh, you're a cute little kid. I'm just going to throw this in because I know kids like it. But it's like, okay, well, first of all, it's for children of all ages.
I thought circus flu only affects children.
Children of all ages.
I recently pulled like five melted Chase lollipops out of my backpack.
The other so you day, would like, ask for them and then like, just throw them in your bag and forget about it.
I've had one in the last 4 years, but every time I go to get quarters, I get one. So
quarters, I'm
a special boy.
Quarters.
I don't want a million allowances of quarters. I don't want the sugar. I want to feel like the special boy that I am. That's what
true.
I need.
You
need
are
that,
a special boy.
I need that high.
I need that high
from the sweet
from
middle-aged
the
bank
stranger
lady.
Working at the bank.
Yes. Well, now that everyone knows who I bank with, where I live, and my age, we can move on.
And of course, your social security—the last four of your social security number,
right? The year I'm born. there's not really a whole lot else. This is kind of like a quick plotted episode.
Yeah,
as well.
The plot is very simple. I do want to point out that at one point when after they kind of hit their mogul status and they get like a million papers. Oh, no, this is the very first time when Sal drops off the first set of papers. He's like, those papers ain't going to deliver themselves. Only the Sunday edition does that. And I love that idea that there is a type of technology that does it, but it's only for the special one, the Sunday paper.
Just for the Sunday special, right, exactly. It's still cost prohibitive for Monday through Saturday.
Right.
I also love that we get Sal in here, too. He's such a good addition to every episode he's in.
He, especially when you just throw in a little spice.
Yeah.
So exactly. they become moguls. They're delivering a million papers a week or something like that. And they end up hiring Bender, Leela, and Fry out from underneath the professor. And then they also do their, you know, because they're both essentially genius kids. They figure out a way that essentially the professor was officially pronounced dead 3 years ago because he fell asleep in a ditch. Right. And so technically Cuber inherited the building, the office, the company in the building. And so then now all of them are like employees. And they're like, what does Hermes say? He's like,
You rotten kids.
And he's like, are you hiring? And they're like, no. He's like, You rotten kids.
I did love that. Hermes has some really good lines in this and like really good gags. And it's, I also love seeing the family dynamic of him and LaBarbara as well. Like mm-hmm. at the very beginning when she like basically, she's kind of like a mix between like the 1950s rolling pin wife who's like, my dumb husband. And then she's like the supportive, like, oh, Hermes, like, I've got you. And then she's like the hypersexualized adulteress who's like,
right, who's going with sleeping with Barbado Slim.
She's like, running, Ma. She's a very complex character for being so ancillary to the series.
She's a great one.
Yeah.
Because she is also in a later episode, she is responsible for saving the day because of her spicy jerk goat.
Oh, that's right.
That Hermes has eaten over the years and that his skin becomes spicy. And then it burns Roberto's mega robot body.
Oh, yes. That's a newer app. Oh my god, we have new apps coming out too.
This month.
Butter, ketchup, mustard.
Yeah, we don't have enough time, lettuce.
Let us rejoice.
Let us pray.
We're gonna blast out the movies though, so we'll catch up pretty quick because the new seasons are, I think, like 10 to 12 episodes. They're not like 20 or anything like these are. So we'll catch up like relatively soon. Oh my god! I don't think I can muster the strength to keep these up right now.
if you try to kick your buns.
Oh, I was trying to think of bun next.
I'm on a roll.
What's your special sauce to coming up with these?
I've been to 1,000 islands dressing myself in fine linens.
Why fine linens?
Because when I at an island, I feel like a fine linen, sort of a breezy white outfit sounds nice. If you're in like a tropical island.
Okay. So that doesn't play with the salad dressing. It's setting the tone.
It's more of the island theme of it.
For you eating a Reuben on an island, dripping in salad dressing on your linens.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, it could be In-N-Out because isn't their sauce just 1,000 Island? Ugh.
I mean, overrated Steak and Shake? Yeah.
Shut the cluck up.
You and I are
first of all,
Steak and Shake, next time
steak and shake is not fast food, so they're not in the same category.
It's good food fast.
Steak and Shake is fast cash.
That is true.
So you can compare Steak and Shake and Smash Burger. Those are on the same plane.
No, Smash Burger is fast cash. I love Smash
and
Burger.
And Steak
though.
And Shake
really
is
like
fast
it.
Cash. Or just
oh,
a restaurant.
Yes. Yeah.
It even might be a restaurant.
There's a drive.
There's waiters. But there's waiters. There's a drive-thru at fucking Red Lobster, basically. You can drive up.
Curbside to go.
You can drive up. That's the same thing.
It's called a smorgasbord and it's classy. Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not gonna have you denigrating the Red Lobster, Texas Roadhouse, Olive Garden family of restaurants. not in this court, sir.
In Koala Court. First of all, I would like to sue on the basis of damages, emotional damages. When Red Lobster.
Are you the judge?
I'm the judge, jury, and executioner, baby. When they didn't have a baked potato for my father, the look of disappointment on his face.
How do they not have baked potatoes? That's like some of the best things you get of Red Lobster.
Exactly. Now you're on my side.
Fair. They're not perfect.
Now I order them to send me a million Cheddar Bay biscuits.
As recompense.
As payment. For my emotional harm.
Misgivings. The court fines for 500 cheddar bays and two shrimp scampies.
Court adjourned.
Oh my god. Also, I still like, I had just had a joke today about 55 cheeseburgers, 55 wings. Yes.
When are you going to watch the show, PD?
I don't know the answer. I have so many good shows.
It's so easy to breeze through because the episodes are like 15 minutes long or something. They're really short.
Netflix?
Yes.
It's I Think You Should Reel.
I Think You Should Leave. You're just trolling me now. I'm so triggered right now.
I Think You Should Leave Reel. I Think You
Should. Mon, it's a cold one out there.
Mon.
Thank you for getting us back on track because we're already over, but we're getting close. So basically the gentlemen step in, Professor Farnsworth and Hermes, and the kids come back to Hermes' house after they get kicked out and say, hey, we need your help. And I love how they flip their switch from like, we're poor, we're failures, to like, oh, you naive idiots.
Yeah, we're back on top.
This is going to happen. Yeah, exactly. So they come in and kind of save the day with the ship and start blasting through the cannon all the newspapers. And I love, I don't know why, I remember Googling what this was from, but I forget now. The little French blonde chick was on Asteroid. Who's like, au revoir! Yeah. I don't know, but I love that. That's like just classic Tress MacNeil to me.
Yeah, au revoir! But then apparently there's another episode where they say French is a dead language.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's the professor's translator. He's like, it's some dead language, but I will do you one better, where I think that that's actually in one of the tales of interest, so it's not technically real.
Oh, okay. I'll allow that.
I think it is.
I'm I'll allow that theory. Sure on that,
but I think it sounds right.
So anyway, the fathers are trying to help them resolve this, and then the last house they have to deliver a paper to ends up being the bully's house, and so they had broken his window the week before, so they're like, okay, you guys have to apologize. So they go in to apologize, but the dad of the bully, also just a big blob, is like, no, fuck that. I'm going to beat the shit out of you guys. So he beats up the dads. They're in the hospital in these like full body casts. And then eventually the big blob guy comes in. He's like, look, actually, I need to apologize. I've just been really
sugar
stressed
water.
Out. Yeah. So he apologizes.
He has this 1950s, like what do they call that, fedora on?
No, he has like a – oh, I thought he had a – oh, you're right, you're right. It's like a fedora thing. I was imagining more like a – because he says he works at the plant. So I was imagining more like a blue-collar sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like a blue-collar. It's like a blue-collar. It's like a 50s blue-collar hat that's like brown versus like one that would match a suit like Don Draper would wear kind of thing.
But anyway, yeah, so Bender comes in with his like home-brewed beer, and they all kind of have like a concluding moment or whatever, where it's like three dads bonding with their kids or whatever. One before we wrap up. One thing I did want to say, or one joke that I wanted to point out was the one where they're watching TV. And it's like, now back to real world, the sun. And then it's just like a guy going like, ah, I'm burning alive. And then Leela starts complaining, being like, ugh, if, like they could afford an apartment like that big on the yeah. sun.
Yeah. Do you know what an apartment or an apartment that big would cost on the sun? It reminds me of when they fling that building with the flagpole into the Hudson River, and that little thing scrolls down that says, now with waterfront views. Oh, that was a good one. Well, shall we rate and trivia?
Let's do it. Let's do trivia first.
Okay. You can go first since I went first last time.
Okay. So, since you said you didn't remember what it was, and it was a trivia question of mine, what is that little French kid a reference to?
Oh, fuck my hole. I don't know. I was going to look it up, and I was like, is he really going to call me out? And then I was like, nah.
Yeah. The Little Prince. It's like a French novella.
It's like a children's book?
Yeah, it was like a French novella.
Okay, I did not know that. I think I looked it up at some point.
It's by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
Oh, is it Antoine de Saint-Exupéry?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I guess I get half a point for that.
Shut up, no, you
don't. No, he is not.
Okay.
All right, what's next?
Let's see. What What does Qbert call Leela Fry Bender?
Oh, if it isn't tight pants, no pants, and stupid. And dumb.
No, dummy.
Tight pants, no pants. Yes, he calls Leela tight pants. He calls Bender no pants. And he looks at Fry and says, and stupid.
No, you're wrong. Oh, idiot. Yes, but I think you have Leela's wrong.
No,
he calls her stretchy pants.
Shit. Stretchy pants? No pants. Okay, tight pants is synonymous, I will
say.
And idiot.
Okay, I'll give you half a point for that.
I want 0.75 for that.
No,
give me 0.6666 of repeating, of course.
No, you only have two of them.
Right.
Yeah, but you took like every word of idiot first and then you said idiot.
There are like three synonyms of idiot. Well, I didn't say dullard, I didn't say dotard, you know. If I can name one more synonym of idiot, can I have one?
No. Moving on.
Fool. Get my ass handed me this season.
I'm running out of trivia questions because the only other things I had written down are signs.
Oh.
But they were fun, so I did mean to say them. I wasn't holding them for trivia.
You can let them. You can say them.
Okay. Well, I did love that it's 7 to the 11th power. Instead of 7-Eleven at the beginning. Yeah. There's also a sign on the front of the 7-Eleven that says, the cashier does not hold any keys to successful marriage or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I love the different beers they had. Old Fortran. Like Fortran, the website, I think, is a reference to that.
Oh, really?
Klein's, which I didn't know until now. I didn't realize until now. Last time I've seen this episode, in between now and then, I've learned what a Klein bottle is. It's like a theoretical topology thing where it doesn't have it only has one side.
Oh, yes.
So it's like like an enclosed version of a Möbius strip kind of thing.
Right, but it's like basically like a plane, like there, but there's only one individual side of it. It's a shape.
It's like
one
that,
side,
but it's like more 3D. So it's like a tube that connects into itself.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't want to put it in a tube.
Okay.
And then there's, I don't quite fully get this one, but it's St. Paul's Exclusion Principle Girl.
St. Paul's.
So I think that there's a beer that's like St. Paul's Girl or something.
There's that one. It's like a Wisconsin
St. Pauli Girl.
Yeah. It's got like a girl.
But what does Exclusion Principle
blonde hair
have to do? I don't know. Anyway, and then the last one is Sam Adams' head. So it's
the Pauli exclusion principle. No two electrons in the same atom can have identical values for all four of the quantum
makes sense.
Numbers.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I'm impressed you even got that far into it. That's good. Good for you.
But yeah, I only had two questions.
Yeah, with like six parts each. Okay. What does Hermes lovingly call his son?
Tinkler?
Yes, but there's another name. He calls him this multiple times throughout the episode. So it seems like more of a nickname. It's a lot more simple than you'd think.
Dwight Lightning?
No.
Dwighty Poo?
No. Childmon.
Childmon.
Like it's. So
I have.
Funny.
I didn't even notice like, that. I didn't even notice
I was
that.
Like, damn it! He calls him that like three times.
Childmon.
Childmon.
Sounds like a Pokemon. Go Childmon.
Go Childmon.
It's just like a kid.
Use
cry.
I was going to say use shit your pants. oh God.
You're killing me. Oh, God, you're killing me.
We've been flowing with the quotes from the current season today. What's the weightage of total weightage of Bender's ale?
5 gallons, 6 ounces.
It's pretty impressive. But can you name the two names that he wants to name it?
Bender Brow, if it's an ale, and if it's a lot. Oh, Bender, no, it's It's something, but it's a play on Budweiser. If it's a lager, if it's Bender Brow, or it's
You're right there. You're right there with Budweiser. I'm not gonna give you any hints.
Botweiser.
Yes.
And then Fry says, "I hope it's a lager because I want to take it to a baseball game."
I did like that one. I was like, "He's right. Lagers are better." What is Dwight's and Qbert's company name and motto?
Awesome Express is the name.
Mm-hmm.
And the company motto is that they're the rude, crude delivery dudes.
Hearing Leela say it's so good. Leela is like very...
She like picks up the phone in a very polite way too, which I love. Yeah. It's like...
Awesome Express, the rude, crude delivery dudes. what is it that... I have a lot today. What is it that the professor and Hermes have for dinner at La Barbara's house?
Beef bourguignon.
And
tequila shooters. tequila sliders, tequila...
Think about it being funnier for an old man to order this drink.
Tequila. I keep on going back like to shooter. Slammers.
May a homeless old man have more beef bourguignon
and the tequila slammer.
Tequila slammer.
Also, tequila slammer while you eat beef bourguignon is like, that doesn't match at all.
Disgusting. So gross. All right, last one. What tool do the professor and Hermes use to recover all the papers?
Oh, it's a net that the professor bought to catch a giraffe.
For giraffe hunting, yeah.
Good thing I bought this net to catch a giraffe.
Giraffe. Such a ex machina tool for the
I know, especially the way it picks it up perfectly and then it's just like
right. Damn, dude, you got
4 out of 5, one, baby.
2, 3, 4. Yeah. That's impressive. That's impressive, my mon frere. Well, oh my gosh, we're almost at exactly an hour. Should we wrap it up?
Let's do it. So, Petey, how many tequila slammers would you give this?
I would give it a solid 3.25. It was not quite our median of 3.5. But there were some really good quotes, and I love seeing Hermes La Barbara. Not really their kid, because I hate all children, but I like seeing Hermes and LaBarbara.
Dwight's a decent character, though.
He's not bad. He has a good arc later in the series, I think.
No, I think I share the sentiments, the 3.25. It definitely has some classic moments, like Noam doesn't love that. But yeah, otherwise it's like, I don't love the kid plot of like, oh, we like did a bad thing and then they have to get saved or whatever. It's just kind of like,
they could have done a little bit better writing around that, I think, at least.
Or something.
Or like gotten mom involved or something. Like there's,
yeah, that would have been so fun more. To get La Barbara to help.
Yeah,
like if the parents and the kids got in trouble together and then La Barbara had to pull them out or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That could have been great. But, you know, I think
yeah, overall, it's a solid episode. It's not bad in any way, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily excel. So I think that's fair, 3.25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's going to be it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. And you next week, we'll cover season 5, episode 4, A Taste of Freedom.
Ooh, I like this one from what I can recall. Oh my gosh, those people are still at the park loving on each other and it is triggering me to nugs. News update from PP Top of the Park. These two teens are still canoodling. We'll be right back.
More at 11.
More at 11. Sick. Well, oh my gosh, that means our soundboard works, so we should have someone... Take us out.
Well, before someone takes us out, Mon, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, WTTWOT. I will, now that Threads is a thing, I will be posting links to Threads.
Oh, sick. Okay, cool.
So you can follow me at The Most Chill Bro. That is my Instagram for all things. And Threads, whatever, however that works, Threads, I don't know yet because I just used it today for the first time. But I'm going to start posting things there because Twitter was not really working for our audience anyway. I think we had about 25 followers, most of which were bots. So
I'll take it.
Big deal getting rid of Twitter at this point. and you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod.
Mm-hmm.
And
lots of good Patreon coming down. But as always, we'll love you forever. We'll love you for always. As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be. Now, take us out, Barbados Slim.
Elegant Caribbean shoulders.
Cheesy!
Bye!
Bye.
Cruel running. Tomorrow.